We're delighted to have a great friend of Central Bible College with us today. And thinking of an appropriate introduction for our guest, I felt that I could say to this student body and faculty that Dr. Spence, who of course is the president of Evangel College, is a great friend of Central Bible College. The years of fellowship that we have enjoyed with these dear people indicate to me that he is a gentleman that truly has offered a very significant contribution to the kingdom of God, to the assemblies of God, through his leadership. And having had opportunities, particularly during the times that we have lived here in Springfield, to have close association with Dr. Spence and his family, these people are truly spiritual leaders. His ministry is a blessing wherever he goes, and he is in consistent demand as a speaker in our churches and conventions and camp meetings and conferences. And I know that today we are going to be blessed by his ministry of the Word of God. And I know that your heart will be challenged as he comes to minister to us. Let's welcome Dr. Spence, president of Evangel College, today.
Thank you, President Lednecki. What a delightful privilege to join with you for your morning chapel hour. I think we really have our schedule somewhat confused. This should be the time that we have Spiritual Emphasis Week. May God bless you and reward you according to the study that you have invested during this semester. That moment of truth. Your president is a dear friend of mine, and his wife and he have certainly graced our city, and I know their leadership and participation in all of the activities of Central Bible College have inspired not only faculty and staff, but you as a student body. And I join with you in thanksgiving to God for the gift of his continued grace and leadership in the person of President Lednecki. It would be most interesting if every student here at Central Bible College had put into writing, had somehow reduced to succinct statements on paper, what you expected Central Bible College to be when you came here. That would be especially interesting if alongside it you would write what it is to you after you have been here for one semester, or two, or five, or eight, or 10. Because so many of us come to an institution like Central Bible College with a lot of illusion as to what it is going to be. There may be some who came to CBC with the expectation that it was going to be one glorious continuation of youth camp. Somebody came with the idea that it would just be a little more advanced than VBS. Mr. Aker and company quickly dispelled that illusion. You see, those of us who work in administrative capacities have to live every day with just this kind of real question. What is this institution? What is its purpose? What are we seeking to achieve? And when you get to the bottom line, what we are seeking to do is help build character. Oh, how great it would be if we could just include in our catalog Character 101. All the way up to 396, or whatever the highest level course would be. And after a student had compiled a sufficient number of semester hours, just give him his gold star and send him on his way with that badge of distinction. He has character. But you know and I know that character doesn't come just from sitting in a class or reading a book. Character is built. And all of the things that we study and all of the academic presentations that are offered to us and all of the papers that we write and all of the books that we read and all of the projects that we produce are but ancillary factors toward the building of character. Because it matters not how well we may speak or how many gifts we may manifest or how many spectacular works we produce. If we don't have character, we're just a lot of noise. I was with a pastor for a weekend, just this past weekend, and having a meal with the pastor and his wife, they were talking about something aligned with this, and they are graduates of one of our Bible colleges, and they got on the subject of honesty and character. And they both shared their reactions to a recent inquiry from a classmate who had written offering his services as an evangelist. And they remembered sitting in class with the evangelist when he cheated on examinations. Who wants a cheat for an evangelist? Who wants a brain surgeon who cheated to get there? When I was in college, and when I make a statement like that, my sons look a little puzzled. They didn't know they even had colleges in those days. But when I was in college, I am so thankful that there was a faculty that had put a priority, though it was not a Christian college, they had put a priority on what they termed character. And by that, they were talking about honesty and integrity. Truthfulness. And I shall never forget one very, very outstanding professor, highly regarded on that campus, who at the time of final examination would pass out the examination. He happened to teach math. And he would say, "Today, ladies and gentlemen, you are going to have two examinations. One in trigonometry and one in honesty. If you must fail one, I hope that it is trigonometry." And he would leave the room. Character is what we are when nobody really knows us. Character is what we are inside. The real person. And in an age when there's a great deal of talk about taking off the mask and removing the facade, that's exactly what you have when you take off the mask and remove the facade, and what you really are is your character. And the Word of God speaks so eloquently to that point. Hebrews chapter 11 contains a presentation of people, real people, just like you and me, and the building of their character. And I appeal to you this morning and request of you to consider with me just one of those, and it is quite difficult to narrow down to just one with such an array of outstanding character. But there is just one there that I would like to call your attention to. He is listed there in verse 24, Joseph. He is one of the very, very few Bible characters that is presented to us without character splotches. Now the verse, and for those of you who are grading me on homiletics this morning, I'll be very, very quick to tell you that I'm using this verse to go back to the Old Testament. I heard someone preach a sermon on that verse one time, who proved conclusively that Hebrews chapter 11, I said verse 24, didn't I? It isn't verse 24. It's verse 22. Proved conclusively that Hebrews 11, 22 shows that cremation cannot be a Christian practice. Battled that one around a while. If there is any fault that you can give to Joseph, it was a lack of wisdom in his youth. Because he had that tendency to tell everything he knew. He is that proverbial person who says, nobody really knows my personal affairs except my attorney, my physician, and the guy that sat next to me on the bus this morning. He is an open book. In his prayer time, he senses God's move and he feels he must announce it to the entire body. He can't wait. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, gives us a counterbalance to that, as you will read this very significant statement. And Mary pondered these things in her heart. There are just some things, friend, you don't need to tell everybody. Let God continue to work, and at the proper time, it'll all be revealed. But notice, if you will, in his life, these things that contributed to the building of his character. Number one, very, very early in his life, he had a face-to-face encounter with the overwhelming wickedness of man. He saw sin in its rawest forms. He saw it in the persons of his own brothers. The disillusionment that would come to a person as the result of being sold into slavery by their own brother. I've talked to some people who've been abused. I've talked with people who have been physically abused by members of their families, by their parents. I talked just yesterday to a young lady, tears coursing down her cheeks, saying, "I dread to go home for the holidays because of the abuse my parents heap on me." Here's a girl who's probably 19 years old who says, "Anytime my mother disagrees with me, she slaps me across the face. But I've never talked to a person who has been sold as merchandise into slavery." How much deeper could you go than that? That was something that Joseph confronted, but it was a part of building his whole character, because it helped him understand that you cannot put your faith in man. It was a tough, tough lesson, but it helped him see that you had to put your trust in God and not even in brothers. He found himself in a strange land as a slave, finally into the household of Potiphar, where he became the subject, or the target, if you will, of the deceit that the human mind can manufacture. He's wrestling with real issues. And character, your character and mine, can never be adequately developed until we realize what the real issues in life are. We're not just cruising down a peaceful stream with the roses blooming on each bank and everything working out beautifully. There's a real world. And part of the building of character is coming to grips with that kind of issue. That this world is under judgment and it is populated by sinful people with depraved minds and deceitful natures and utter disregard and disrespect for what is high and holy and righteous. And that destroys a lot of people. They never overcome it. Once they see life in its grossest forms, they never, never get stabilized again. They're just totally bombed out. It could have happened to Joseph, except that his character also was contributed to by an awareness of the overseeing providence of God. In chapter 39 of Genesis, even when Joseph is being cast into prison, there is this significant statement, "And the Lord was with him." When he had arisen to a place where it appeared that there might have been a brighter tomorrow, he is now being given additional responsibility and honor and recognition until Potiphar's wife seeks to lead him into a life of immorality. He withstands that, and as a reward for it, he is thrown into prison with false accusations, not only of immorality, but of crime. And here he is languishing in prison, and there is that same statement repeated, "And the Lord was with him." You may be here on the CBC campus wrestling with that very same issue in your life. How could I possibly be in the will of God and be struggling like this? Well, I thought if I was in the will of God, I would make straight A's. Now, surely if I were here in the will of God, I would have gotten a proposal for marriage at least by now. The providence of God is demonstrated not by fulfilling our whims, but by demonstrating his presence. Joseph was in prison, a real prison, but the Lord's presence was with him. And with his presence comes his peace. The kind of peace that the Apostle Paul described like this: a peace that passeth all understanding, meaning that it is a peace that has no natural explanation. It is a peace that is not subject to circumstances and not produced by circumstances. That's why the Apostle Paul's very clear testimony could be, I know how to abound and I know how to be abased. He could steer a steady course and maintain an even keel and be pushed out of shape by neither, because of the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And that contributes to the building of character. To understand the overseeing providence of God, as demonstrated by his presence and by his peace. His character was built also by an overcoming obedience. The final proof of faith is obedience. Not works. The most eloquent testimony of trust is obedience. It took years, possibly as many as 22 years, from the time Joseph was sold into slavery until that moment came of his crowning glory. And in a day when we are looking for instant happiness and instant products and instant results, you just don't rush character. Some of you young men particularly are going to be in places of leadership in local churches, and your inclination is going to be to latch hold on and utilize every flashing spiritual meteor that comes through. And you're going to be disappointed, because some of those that come flashing across the horizon may have spellbinding testimonies but are lacking in character. And when the truth comes out, it's devastating. It takes time to build character. And it is built through all of those experiences of obedience. His character was also contributed to by an awareness of the overriding plan of God. What was God's plan for Joseph's life? What was his plan? His plan was to have Joseph prime minister of Egypt. That plan had been whispered to Joseph when he was but a teenager. We can understand that he wanted to reach for it then. How magnificent as a 17-year-old to have been prime minister. But in order for God's plan and his purpose to be most beautifully demonstrated, there needed to be a prime minister with character. The plan was to be prime minister. And the route that God took him through had a lot of turns and twists and hairpin curves. It was obedience that kept him on course, to the point where that purpose could be realized, that plan could be fulfilled, that proclamation could be made, and that proof of fidelity could be offered. How long does it take to make a minister? There are some people who see it as a 4-year course, but it isn't. It takes a lifetime to make a minister. Because we are able to minister effectively only to the degree that it flows from our own lives. And so Central Bible College is dedicated to this purpose, to build character. People of honesty, not only in their personal business affairs, but even in the reporting of the attendance figures. And the results of the revivals, and how many people you can get on a bus. That's where the character demonstrates itself. And that's why a choice group of dedicated men and women who have sacrificed to prepare themselves academically, invest their lives in not only the student body here this year, but in previous years, and should Jesus tarry in future years, not just to give tests and read papers, but to help build character. Father, let there dawn upon our hearts this morning a new awareness of your plan and your purpose and your intentions for us. And in a time when it is so easy for us to affix our gaze upon results and to be impressed by the spectacular, to realize that your priority is on the building of the real person, the inner person, the character that can stand the test of misunderstanding, the test of even abuse and mistreatment, the test of delayed response and results, that would help us be the kind of character that your Holy Spirit can use and bless. And we thank you for that in Christ's name.